Hello there. Welcome back to the Rolling in the Deep podcast. I am Adele, owner of Babies on Broadway. If you are just tuning into this podcast, haven't listened before, I am here with my main gal, Summer. And today's topic, we are going to be covering navigating boundaries with friends, families. I mean, not that you can navigate boundaries with strangers, but maybe we'll touch on that too. Mm-hmm. With either your, you know, upcoming child or your existing children. So to kind of start into it, I was asking, you know, some of our customers, staff, like what would be a good podcast topic? And a couple of people have brought up the fact that things look so incredibly different maybe nowadays when you are going to give birth, specifically in terms of even, you know, who's coming to visit in the hospital. Or there's been this new trend where I've seen where people don't even necessarily tell you that they've given birth to the baby.
Right.
I mean, which is kind of wild. So first I want to touch on what it was like when I gave birth. So I've got, you know, my older son Remington is going to be 17 in September. And then I had a 5-year age gap. I've got Flynn coming up with a birthday here soon. And then you've got a big span. So I'm curious to see how it was for you too. But when I had Remington, I had a C-section. And one of the things that was interesting to me is it was more like a traditional surgery setting where when I had my C-section, I was actually brought into like the surgery recovery room, which was really awkward because you're awake for that surgery. And like everyone else in recovery is kind of like waking up from anesthesia.
Right, right.
And you're just like sitting there kind of wide awake, a little droopy, wondering what the heck just happened to your body. And also then like your baby's not there. So like they all get to move up to the room. And I kind of remember like trying to have this conversation with the boys' dad that I would prefer that I come up to the room like nobody's in there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I'm just going to be real honest. That's not what happened.
Oh, you don't say.
And again, like looking back on it, it's whatever, yeah. You know, but it was really super awkward because I did not get that bonding time with my baby that, you know, 16, 17 years ago. I was eventually wheeled up to the room. He had already been bathed. He was, you know, being held by everybody. And I felt kind of left out. Or like I had missed something, or it just felt like it started on a weird note for me personally. So that was my older one. My second one, also C-section. This time things had changed and it was a much more interesting experience because they actually bring you up with your, you know, whoever's with you there, and the baby and everybody in the whole recovery team comes up to your room on the birthing floor. Mm. So that was really awesome because you're there through it all and you're able to kind of have a recovery going on while the baby's still there and you're getting that bonding time with the baby. And I think that's kind of like that whole motion of baby-friendly hospital. But one thing I was not good about, and one thing I think in terms of where my partner and I at the time were not good about, was like being on the same page. I mean, we talked about it, but
yeah. Enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
That's a key part of boundary issue. You know, you can have the boundary,
yeah,
but it's carrying them out.
Which is a hard thing, I think, for
very
me.
Very hard.
Too, specifically.
Yes, you do it.
I know.
No offense.
I make them and then I don't carry them out. Yeah, I think that is
you
the thing.
You intend to have them and then like
right
your
out
family
the window.
Of origin really doesn't like boundaries at all.
Yeah.
For my observation.
Yeah. It's perfect about, yeah. So, I mean, it was a real problem for us. And so a lot of parents talk about this, and actually I've been really quite impressed with how like to the other side people will go with their boundaries where it's like, hey, we might not even tell you when we're birthing this baby.
Right.
You might find out later so that we've already had our time together, which is an interesting concept. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it filters into like, even after you get home, like, what do you want for that? Mm-hmm. I mean, making this part of like a conversation that you have ahead of time and that you're aligned with your partner on this to what you want and what you want to see. Because at the end of the day, I do think it makes a difference. I do remember still to this day feeling like I've missed out or felt a little like left out of that first experience. I mean, I carried this child for 9 months, 10 months, really, if you really want to count up the weeks, 40 weeks, whoever decided that was 9 months. And frankly, I was like, what on earth? Like, is happening here. So, I mean, just creating those boundaries and making a plan and getting on the same page as your partner and then enforcing them. because even if I did do them, I probably wasn't going to enforce them. So maybe having that backbone of someone that will enforce them with you, for you, together with you. And then, yeah. And then after you get home too, because I mean, it's a big thing now with all the illness and stuff that has been out there. And frankly, it's both ways too. Like, not only can you bring illness into a newborn baby, but like, they can also give you something as well. Like, if the babies have RSV now, we've seen that in elderly people, like, that is a thing. And then it spreads, right? So a lot of people just want privacy and want their time at home. And I just don't think that there's anything wrong with that.
No.
However, the older generation certainly does feel there's a problem with that usually. So it's a dynamic that has been really interesting. Also just out in public. I don't know how you help that, but certainly maybe you've got some cues or social cues people can give. Like, people don't want you in their baby's face, especially within like respiratory droplet.
I mean, you take COVID, for example. Yeah. COVID actually kind of opened the door to, it's okay to have boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we have to have, all of a sudden we had to have them.
Mm-hmm.
So even like when you hear like the gals that come through the store now, just talking about different protocols that I think they have about hospital visits and once they get home and who can come over, it's like, it's just part of their norm now.
Right.
You just don't let everybody in anymore.
Right.
Which is really handy.
It is.
Because then
the
your mental health is way better too.
Yeah.
Because you get to control who's coming in and out of your house all the time because they all love this little baby.
Right.
So it is so tough to like, you know, validate any reason that you would exclude family from visiting your baby when actually there is. And it's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know. I really had that issue too because like that was where my mind went, was like, you know, I know everybody just wants to come like love on us and love on the baby.
Yeah.
So like, I feel very wrong saying that I don't want that or like would need some time to myself. But the reality is your body has just gone through a major transition. You grew a human. It's now out of you. In my case, I just had major surgery. Wasn't feeling the greatest. Hadn't done this before. Had no clue what I was doing. And then there's all these people around you. And you just don't really know what to do with it.
You don't.
Yeah. It's like, whoa. But it is nice that it's becoming kind of more of an accepted standard that there can be boundaries, should be boundaries, whatever the word is that you want to use with it.
Totally.
But that does not make it any easier sometimes for like certain generational things.
Absolutely.
Because we hear about it all the time.
We do.
Mm-hmm. People aren't happy.
It's often that you hear boundary stories in the store.
Yeah. And in the way of like, I cannot believe I can't go see this baby or I cannot believe they didn't tell me or I can't believe that they're not allowing, you know, back in the day too, like you could have a ton of people in your room with you when you were giving birth too. I mean, I've been in on some births where there was quite a few people. Yeah. It's a thing.
Yes.
Pick some people in, they come.
Right. Yeah.
I mean,
even like medical professionals.
Oh,
my last baby, I had like five doctors cause they were all training.
Oh.
And nobody wants, you know, there's huge liability in OB. So she's like, can I, bring them in.
Yeah.
But you know, like, holy crap. So you got a bunch of trainees plus your, you know, no way does that fly now.
No, you just don't see that.
No.
What was it like for you, like through the like process of, let's say, Christian versus your youngest?
You know how that goes. A lot of times the excitement with your first is, no offense to Blake, but you know, you get a lot less visitors as you have more babies.
He's number four.
Yeah. But I would say that we got lucky in the sense of, well, you know, Matt had some boundaries that maybe were real intent. Like, he laid them out from the get-go with his family that I probably wouldn't have had, but they did as well.
Yeah,
I would say, especially with Christian. And then, you know, you just need less and less. I feel like you can kind of, and I didn't have C-section, so that also made it, I wasn't as healy-peely and all that good stuff. But I think that, you know, we did. I have a really fun story though of my brother had an experience with a family member that just, it just boundaries galore where they, you know, they were their first baby. They go down to visit family out of state, first time bringing baby home. And it was the good old, ooh, you've been smoking. Could you wash your hands before you hold the baby?
Yeah.
Seems like a real natural comment. well, I do believe to this day, my brother, he's still like a glutton for punishment because he asked somebody to wash their hands before they held the baby.
They were mad about that, huh?
Real mad. a couple emails later, you know, just like
emails.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the best. Keyboard warring. Like, that's the way of keyboard warring before we Isn't had it? Like social media. You're yes. getting an email.
You're getting an email. And I'm going to tell you what I think about washing my hands.
After smoking.
Right. Like, oh my gosh, you got to be kidding. You can't ask for this. So, I mean, boundary, like, I feel like this is such, it can be such a topic of complete, like people have such different parallels of boundaries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And why it's a big deal to ask them just kills me.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't understand being on the opposite side of it and not being okay. Just being like, hey, whatever works for you.
I know that.
We have obviously tons of babies in and out of the store at all different ages. I have had babies that are literally 2 to 3 days old in my store, you know?
Absolutely.
And it does not cross my mind personally to be like, hey, like even at this point, let me peek at them or anything. Like you read the room. People will give you the cues. I've also had people hand me 5-day-old babies like, hey,
right.
If they that's what you want. Cool with it. Yeah. You know, I mean, like, obviously if it's coming at you and we're good with it too, you know,
absolutely
and now I might be a little more careful with like, hey, let me grab some hand sanitizer just cause I, you know, I got kids that are in school and you never know what germs are coming through the store. But okay. So if I were to set a boundary having a baby in 2024, like if I could do this, you know, all over again, for me personally, this is a baby step. It's a little tiny baby step because I did not do well with this at all, especially if I knew I was having a C-section too. So I'm going to word this two different ways. If for some reason I magically didn't have to have a C-section, I would say I wanted at least 24 hours, like a 24-hour day span, mm-hmm. like a whole day. That's just me and baby and partner.
Yeah.
In the hospital. And if I were to go through C-section land again, I might want, it might turn into 48 hours because like a day of recovery and rest and then a day with baby partner, you know, with no visitors, which would be a real big step for me. But I think that that would have done my mental health some well because I felt like there was a lot of noise that came in to like my experience. Mm-hmm. I didn't really get to take it in. It was all of a sudden just like, oh, there's people everywhere. And it wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad thing at all. Like a bunch of people loving my children. That's great. But it was just, I didn't get to navigate any of it on my own. It was just a lot. Like you already have nurses and doctors and all of the things coming in to see you. And so I think just having that time and quiet to just figure it out on my own is what I would do.
I like
that one. What about you?
So if I had to read or set one now, I would set a visiting hours the first month so that we could get some semblance of a schedule. And then my visiting hours would not be every day. They would be, you know, a couple times a week and not for long stretches, 4 to 7, 5 to 8, you know, whatever works for your crew. But I just think that first month, when I am in hindsight of just my own personal well-being, that first month after I had my babies, just the emotional and physical changes that were happening, they were intense.
Yeah.
So being able to control that visiting hour piece would have been real helpful.
Yeah. Where I was like the opposite and wanted all the people. Mm. Like once I got home. Because then I was like real scared.
Come save me.
I was like, ooh, this little thing doesn't, I don't know what I'm doing really. You know? So sometimes it was just nice to have a sounding board like this normal. Have you ever seen that before? What's happening here? So I don't know. Like, yeah, but I think it's good to control it and to know that your own needs.
Yes.
You know, what those look like. Because that's important too, because everybody is going to be different.
They are.
And sometimes you don't know till hindsight, which is unfortunate as well. But yeah, just to respect it.
Mm-hmm.
Just being cognizant of that, I think reading the cues, but I think my biggest takeaway, so we're going to try to give you three here. My biggest takeaway would be to just respect the parents' wishes, whatever that is. Like if they want to tell you something, like maybe it seems absurd to you, guess what? It's not your child.
Nope.
So you're just,
they might be your child,
yeah.
your adult child, but they do get to lay the groundwork. Yeah. I remember one of our staff people actually sharing with me a text that his brother sent him that basically laid out, here is basically how you can come see our kid.
Fine.
And I love that. I think that's a takeaway. Even if it's nutty, who cares?
Yeah.
You know, like you don't agree. Oh, well, but you got to follow
right.
it. You know, like it's just because you respect the human who sent you the text or whoever verbalized the boundaries to you, you got to follow it. But I feel like that's a second takeaway in just verbalize your boundaries.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I love that it's in writing too. So I'm going to actually piggyback that off. If it's in writing, I feel like you can go back to it and reference and like making that align with your partner. So yes. Writing with the partner so that you both have a place where you can look at it and be like, hey, this is what we agreed upon ahead of time. If something changes in your mind, like all of a sudden you're on the phone with grandma and you want to ask, and maybe at that point you'll both say, you know what? Yeah, we would really like to have this person be a part of this. That's okay. But at least you have a reference point instead of like jumping into like, you know, hey, yeah, let's mm-hmm. hop on this. I could probably go on and on for like boundaries that were, I didn't set. So like I can't even say they were broken, but just like the random things that,
mm-hmm. you know, a lot of times it's prior inject. To, mm-hmm. you know, like you have an experience and then you realize, oh crap, I could have probably controlled this just by setting a couple boundaries.
Yeah.
And it would have made it much easier.
And less stressful and mm-hmm. less elongated. Like years mm-hmm. later, you're still thinking about how your brother gets emails about asking washing hands with a cigarette. No. I mean, that's wild. And that's what happens. Like you remember those bizarre
you do.
Things that come in there. And yeah, I think it's just important to let people set their own path and respect what the parents mm-hmm. are asking of you. Mm-hmm. So there's our takeaway. Boundaries with friends and family with your little one. And what about in public? Do you have anything to say on that? Because that's a tough one.
It is tough.
Because people will like come and get in your face. And like I've even seen it happen in our store. So that being said, what would be a piece of advice we could give to people when you're in a public setting and you're just really uncomfortable? Like I think it's just okay to say that you're uncomfortable.
I do too. I like that.
But it's just hard.
Upfront about it. Yeah.
That's hard though, because it's not human nature. You're trying to be nice. Like we're Minnesota mm-hmm. nice. So we're passive aggressive. So like, but I mean,
which is probably why my brain was like going to, maybe I'm making up like some virus we have, which is terrible when you just like you're talking about, how about you just tell say them. I'm uncomfortable, you know, yeah. like you don't have to potentially be give an excuse. Struggling with death.
Yeah.
Was what I was going to make. My boundary here is,
oh my gosh,
we're very sick. Please get away from us.
Yeah, that's so funny. No, I think that it's actually just okay to probably say.
Like, I do too.
You know, this is all new to me and I just prefer to like keep a little distance.
Yep.
You know, and know that it might not be received well and that's okay.
Exactly.
Do you really care? Do you really care what this person thinks of you?
It's a complete stranger.
Yeah, usually.
You don't.
No.
Yeah, usually you yeah. think it is.
Yeah. And so I would go with that. Like, it's okay. Like, they might be completely appalled. Mm-hmm. And that's okay, too. And if they get appalled right. and they say something back to you, maybe your answer is just like, I'm sorry that you can't respect my boundary.
Exactly.
Because it's my child.
Right.
I grew this thing. It's a lot right. of work. In case you didn't know. Now you do. It's a lot of work and they're a lot of work for a lot of long time. So that's my two cents on that. All right, you guys. Well, thank you so much for tuning in to Rolling in the Deep podcast. Make sure that you're checking us out on all the platforms. Our podcast is available everywhere and we post every Tuesday, Instagram, Facebook, all the things. And we will see you guys soon.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.